Blog Talk Radio.
Shalom, shalom, shalom. First and foremost, giving all praise and honor to the Holy One of Israel, to the Creator of the heaven, the earth, the sea, and all that is there and is, by saying hallelujah. Praise the mighty Yah. Yah is righteous. Yah is holy. And let Yahweh be magnified. Once again, Creator has allowed us to come before you another day, another night, bringing to you his great, holy, and exalted words, even the words of truth. My name is Moray Ishaya Yisrael of the House of Israel, located right here in Cincinnati, Ohio, 1907 Vine Street, bringing to you nothing but the truth. And yes, it is true. All we're going to do is tell you the truth, for Yah ordained me to tell you the truth, and this is what I'm going to do. And who is this Yah? Yah is the creator of the heaven, the earth, the sea, and all that is therein is. Yah is the Elohim of our fathers, the Elohim of Abraham, Yitzhak, and Yisrael, whom you may know as Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Yah is our king. He's our judge. He's our lawgiver. And Yahweh is our only savior, and not just of Israel. Yah is the savior of the world. And I praise Almighty Yah once again for allowing me to come before you to speak to you his great, holy, and exalted words. Last night, we started off dealing with the help meet. And tonight, we'll be dealing with the help meet part two. Why are we dealing with the help meet? Because we've had many questions concerning marriage. And oftentimes these questions don't lead you to the bottom line. The answers don't lead you to the bottom line. And what we did last night and what we're doing tonight is getting to the bottom line. Either you're going to understand, either you're going to do what Yahweh designed and made you for, or you're not. This is not rocket science. Although many will have you to believe that it is. It's not rocket science. As stated last night, we talked about what is a helpmate. And let us read it. All those that are interested in the word of Yahweh. Watch what it says in the book of Genesis, the second chapter. In the book of Genesis, the second chapter, which means you don't have to go far in opening up your Bible, your Tanakh, your Holy Scriptures. In the book of Genesis, the second chapter, in the 18th verse, this is what it says. And Yahweh, Elohim said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a help meet for him. This is what Yahweh said. But why Yahweh? Why would you make a help meet for him? What is a help meet? Well, he already answered the why. The why is because it's not even good for man to be alone. And we went over scriptures to show you why it's not good for any man or woman to be alone. And I wanted you to see what we showed to people last night, because we're dealing with the helpmate part two. And watch this in the book of Ecclesiastes, the fourth chapter. Since it's not good for man to be alone, why isn't it good? So when you find man alone, I don't care if man just living alone like a monk, and he's just a monk, and he out there studying like a monk, Yeah, we don't want us to be no monks out there just studying by ourselves. Ain't no telling what we're going to come back with. Now, I can see if you was out there 40 days and 40 nights on a mountain like Moses. I can see if you out at evening like Isaac meditating. It's understandable when you're on journeys alone. But to make a vow of a monk or a priest and you don't have no woman, what kind of vow is that where you vow not to be a woman? When Yahweh said it's not good for man to be alone. Either Yahweh's right or you're right. And I know who's right, and it's Yahweh. In the book of Ecclesiastes, the 4th chapter, this is what it says in the 9th verse. Two are better than one. I don't care what it is, Adam. You just said two cars is better than having one car. Two houses is better than having one house. Two loaves of bread is better than having one loaf of bread. Because they have a good reward for their labor. And what is the good reward? Well, let me show you what it is. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow. That's the good reward. But woe to him that is alone when he falls, for he has not another to help him. And what is a woman? A woman comes from the Hebrew word Isha. What is that? Well, that comes from the Hebrew word Azar, which means a help meet. And that's what a woman is. She's a helper. She's supposed to be a helper. She's supposed to aid and protect. She's supposed to have her husband or man back. That's what she's supposed to do. And when she do not, and the mass majority of the women don't, they just the opposite. In other words, they not acting, conducting, behaving in a way or in the function in which they were designed and made. And who fault is that? Is that somebody's fault or is it your fault? Watch what it says. Again, if two lie together, then they have heat. But how can one be warm alone? And if one prevails against him, two shall withstand him. And threefold cord is not quickly broken. These are practical principles of wisdom. That two is better than one. No wonder Yahweh said it is not good for a man to be alone. So he made him a help meet. Now, most men tell you today they might as well be alone because most of their grief comes from their wife, their woman, their help meet. In other words, she's not helping at all. She's hurting. She's bringing down an adversary. She's troubling. And that's not what she was designed for. And you might ask yourself, well, who did Yahweh say if we really want type of unity that he's looking for? And let me tell you what type of unity Yahweh is looking for. It's called righteousness. If you want righteousness, let me show you who Yahweh said it to. But before I show you that, go back to Genesis, the 2nd chapter. because there's another point I want to make before we get away from Genesis, the second chapter, since that is the beginning, Genesis 2. And what we're talking about is the helpmate part 2. Verse, and out of the ground Yahweh Elohim formed every beast of the field, every fowl of the air, brought them to Adam to see what he should call them. And whatever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. And Adam gave names to all the cattle, to the fowl of the air, to every beast of the field. And why? Why was did Adam name everything? Because Adam was put here to rule. But for Adam, there was not found a help meet for him. And Yahweh was not going to let that stand. So this is what Yahweh would do in the 21st verse. And Yahweh Elohim caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam. He slept, and he took one of his ribs, closed up the flesh instead thereof, and the rib which Yahweh Elohim had taken from man, made he a woman and brought her to the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones, flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman. That's what they called her, because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall join to his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And they both were naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. And at this time, there was nothing to be ashamed of, other than the fact that he was alone. But now he have his helper. And as just imagine, here it is, you working by yourself, then you need some help, and you get some help. And then after getting your help starts stealing from you. Your help start lying to you. Your help start hurting you in various different ways. Your help start looking out for self instead of looking out for you. At some point in time, you're going to get rid of this help because you say, well, you're not helping me. You're hurting me. You're not protecting me. You're forsaking me. You're not aiding me. You are an adversary to me. And this is what you have to ask yourself, Miss Helpmate. Are you an adversary? Or are you an Azar? Are you a helper? You only can be one or the other. A lot of women go around and try to justify this as, yeah, to the righteous. No, you're not. See, Yahweh didn't quantify when he made Eve and made a helpmate. Make a helpmate for someone that was just righteous. He didn't say what Adam was. He made a helpmate for a man. He said man should not, it's not good for man to be alone. He didn't say it wasn't good for the righteous to be alone. Nor did he say it's not good for the wicked to be alone. He said it's not good for man to be alone. But let me show you, if you're interested in righteousness, who Yahweh wanted you to look at. And you'll find this in the book of Isaiah 51. And I want you to turn there. And Yahweh wants you to look at this for a reason. Isaiah 51. In the book of Isaiah 51, starting at the very first verse, and this is what it says. Listen to me, you that follow after righteousness, you that seek Yahweh. And I may add, everyone is not following after righteousness. Everyone is not interested in righteousness, nor is everyone seeking Yahweh. But those that are, listen to me. Watch what it says. Look unto the rock wherefrom you were hewn, and to the hole of the pit wherefrom you were dug. And it's not going to tell you to look at Adam and Eve. That's not what it tells you to look at. It's not going to tell you to look at Moses and his wife. It's not going to tell you to look at Aaron and his wife. But let me show you who it's going to tell you to look at. Look to Abraham, your father, and to Sarah that bore you. For I called him alone and blessed him and increased him. So Yahweh is telling you to look unto the rock from where you were hewn. The same rock you came from, you was made from, you was designed from. This rock is Abraham and Sarah. And why do Yahweh want us to look at them? Because Yahweh blessed them. And Yahweh increased them. So if you want to be blessed, you got to look at people who are blessed. And if you want to be increased, then you got to look at those who were increased. And not only he was increased, because his seed was the stars of heaven, but he increased in riches, wealth, cattle, silver, gold, and the abundance of things. He was very blessed, and he increased mightily. So no wonder Yahweh want us to look back to them. And I can understand why people don't want to look at them. And why don't people want to look at Abraham and Sarah? It is understandable. Because then they had to read about Sarah giving another woman and me to Abraham as wife. Who want to read about that? Who want to read about a man having more than one wife? Well, when you read about the story of Abraham, that's what you got to read. And nobody want to read that. They'd rather read the story of Adam, where all he had was Eve. So let me just read that story. Yeah, they don't want to read the story of Abraham and Sarah, because then they had to read where Sarah, when she talked to Abraham, she didn't call him by name. She didn't call him out of his name. She referred to him as Lord, Master. That's what she referred to Abraham as. And you don't want to do that. So you'd rather read about somebody else. You don't want to read about Abraham and Sarah, and I understand it. Because then you had to read where Abraham asked his wife, look here, don't even say you my wife, say you my sister. Show me this kindness that my life won't be in jeopardy. And Sarah did it. And everywhere they went, Sarah was his sister. Unless somebody found out otherwise. But they knew they were married. She knew this was her husband. He knew this was his wife. But when they went out in public and talked to people, this was his sister. And nobody wanted to read that. Because you want to be recognized as the queen and as the queen of the house. I dare him ask me to do something like that. Yeah, you don't want to read that story. You don't want to look in which you were healed. I know. Because everybody should know your business, but not Abraham and Sarah. They were very discreet and dealings. And I know you don't want to read about them because her desires was to her husband. And most women are only interested in what you can do for them and how you will fulfill their desires and your responsibility towards them, not their responsibilities towards you, not the fact that they was even made for a man. So, no, they don't want to hear anything about Abraham and Sarah. But you're going to hear it tonight. So go to the book of Genesis 24. I want you to see how Abraham thought and what he, how he raised his son, how he raised his servants, and what he would do concerning marriage. The help me part two. This is what we're talking about. And watch what it says. Genesis 24, starting at the very first verse. And Abraham was old, well stricken in age, and Yahweh had blessed Abraham in all things. This is why Yahweh said, look back from the rock from which you were hewn, for I blessed him alone, and I increased him. And Abraham said to his oldest servant of his house, that ruled over all that he had, put, I pray you, your hand under my thigh, and I will make you swear by Yahweh, the Elohim of heaven, the Elohim of the earth, that you shall not take a wife unto my son of the daughter of the Canaanites, among whom I dwell. Even though I'm in Canaan, I'm not about to touch these women. And here it is, we in America, and we think we can touch all the women in America. We don't have the same attitude that Abraham had. Even though Abraham was in the land that Yahweh would give his descendants, he still wasn't going to touch these Canaanite women. He knew what type of women these were. It says, but you shall go to my country and to my kindred, and take a wife unto my son Isaac. And this is beautiful. Here it is. We got people who are interested in getting married, but what they will do, they don't go to an Israelite that know Yahweh, an Israelite that would serve Yahweh, an Israelite that fears Yahweh, an Israelite that there every Sabbath learning about Yahweh. No, they will go get somebody that don't even know Yahweh at all. They will concern themselves with people who so-called conscious and ain't conscious of nothing. You just conscious is just a made-up word that mean nothing. Either you know Yahweh or you don't. And that's what they will do. They just try to take anybody. And I see the women talking to these men that don't, they don't even know who they are, let alone know who Yahweh is. And then you got a bunch of men that take a woman, don't know Yahweh from a can of paint, but not so with Abraham. He sent his servant back to his family because he knew his family knew what he knew. They knew the just of what he knew. And watch what it says. Fifth verse. And the servant said to him, perhaps the woman will not be willing to follow me unto this land. Must I need to bring your son again to the land from where you came? And Abraham said to him, Beware. You that bring not my son there again. Yahweh Elohim of heaven, which took me from my father's house and from the land of my kindred, the Yahweh took me from there and which spoke unto me and that swore unto me, saying, Unto your seed will I get his land. He shall send his angel before you, and you shall take a wife unto my son from there. You're going to do that. Yahweh already assured me this thing is going down. Watch this key verse. And if the woman will not be willing to follow you, then you shall be clear from this my oath. Only bring not my son there again. In other words, Abraham told his servant, whatever you do, Yahweh already said he will bless me. Yahweh already said we're going to inherit this land. But make no mistake about this thing. If this woman won't follow you, don't go back there for a woman at all. And here it is, we got a bunch of weak men that will have a woman knowing she don't follow them. She done told him that she's not going to follow him. She done demonstrated that she's not going to follow you. Let alone told you she's not going to follow you. And have refused to follow you. And you still trying to fulfill her desires. You still trying to make her yours. You still wasting time with somebody who won't even follow you. And why would you do that? Abraham wasn't wasting his time. That's why nobody really want to read this story about Abraham and Sarah. Because the story of Abraham and Sarah contradicts the behavior and the conduct of the mass majority of women as well as men. Some women so arrogant, they'll make Sarah and Abraham look inferior to them. And they're not inferior at all. The ones that's inferior is the ones that's not blessed or increased like Abraham and Sarah. But Abraham made it crystal clear. If she ain't going to follow you, don't go back there. And watch what it says. Six verses. And let me read that fifth verse again. And the servant said to him, Perhaps the woman will not be willing to follow me unto this land. Because now we're talking about her will. The eighth verse said, And if the woman will not be willing to follow you. Most of the things men go through today, they got to make a woman do. You shouldn't have to make a woman do nothing. She was made for you, man. What you trying to make her do things for? That makes no kind of sense. Watch this. Yahweh don't even play that. And just hold your page here because we're going back to Genesis 24. I want you to see this in the book of Exodus. Exodus 35. Show you the type of Elohim we have. In the book of Exodus 35. And watch what it says in the fifth verse. I start at the fourth verse. And Moshe spake unto all the congregation of the children of Israel, saying, This is the thing which Yahweh commanded, saying, Take you from among you an offering unto Yahweh. whoever is of a willing heart. You don't want no woman that don't have a willing heart towards you. What kind of helpmate is that? Watch what it says. Let him bring it an offering of Yahweh, gold, silver, and brass, blue, purple, scarlet, fine linen, goodsir, ram skins dyed red, badger skin, shit on wood, oil for the light, spices for anointing oil, and for the sweet incense, onyx stones, stones to be set for the ephod, and for the breastplate. And watch what it says. And every wise hearted among you shall come and make all that Yahweh has commanded. Yahweh wants people that's willing hearted. Watch this in the 20th verse of this same chapter. Yahweh ain't dealing with no helpmate that he got to force and keep his commandments. Watch this, 20th verse. And all the congregation of the children of Israel departed from the presence of Moshe. And they came, everyone whose heart stirred him up, everyone whom his spirit made willing. And they brought Yahweh's offering to the work of the tabernacle of the congregation, and for all the servers, and for the holy garments. And they came, both men and women, as many as were willing hearted. Why does he keep talking about this willing hearted people? And brought bracelets and earrings and rings and tablets and jewels of gold. And every man that offered an offering of gold unto Yahweh. And then still, watch this, the 29th verse. The children of Israel brought a willing unto Yahweh. And every man and woman whose heart made them willing to bring for all manner of work, which Yahweh had commanded to be made by the hand of Moshe. And let me tell you, everybody was not willing hearted. And every woman is not a helpmate. And those that are, they're not willing hearted. If you're not making them do things, if you're not tricking them into doing things, if you're not threatening them into doing things, it ain't going to be done. And the man that do this, he's just weak. He's a weak man. Yahweh never had a man to make a woman do nothing. Either she's willing hearted or she's not. Now and true, she's supposed to be willing hearted. But they're not. Unfortunately, they're not. And they made for a man. That's like a coat made for me. Shoes made for me, drawers made for me, but every time I turn around, my wife got on my shoes, my drawers, and my coat. What kind of sense is that? That's made for me. That's made for a man. And here it is, a woman made for a man, but every time you turn around, she acting like a man. She want to rule. She wants you to follow her. She wants your desires to be to her. She wants you to do for her, help her, protect her. And she was made to protect, help, and aid you. We got this thing backwards. And Yahweh said he was going to make the crooked thing straight. You don't have to go by me. You don't have to even go by this book. But you're going to regret it. Going back to Genesis 24. Watch what it says. We're still looking at Abraham. This is what Abraham did. And this is what Yahweh told us to do. 9th verse. And the servant put his hand under the thigh of Abraham, his master, swore to him concerning that matter. And the servant took 10 camels of cattle on the master, his master, and departed. For all the goods of his master were in the same. And he rose and went to Mesopotamia, the city of Nahor. And he made his camels to kneel down outside the city by a well at the water at the time of the evening, even the time that women go out to draw water. Hey, women think they don't have to work. These women went out to draw water. And he said, "Oh Yahweh, Elohim of my master Abraham, I pray you, send good speed this day and show kindness to my master Abraham. Behold, I stand here by the well of water, and the daughters of the men of the city come out to draw water. And let it come to pass, this is his prayer, that the damsel to whom I shall say, let down your pitcher, I pray you, that I may drink. And she shall say, drink. And I will give your camels drink also. The same be she that you have appointed for your servant Isaac. And thereby shall I know that you have shown kindness to my master." In other words, what was the servant of Abraham praying for? He was praying to see the virtuousness of a woman. And if she did these things, I know this is for my master, because we're looking for a virtuous woman. And to find a virtuous woman, you got to see certain virtues. And watch what it says. A lot of times men ain't looking for a virtuous woman. They just looking for a beautiful woman. They looking for a woman that looks good. But they not looking for a virtuous woman. Because to look for a virtuous woman, first of all, you got to look to see how she operates. We just see a beautiful woman, start talking to her, and next thing you know, we become married. And then we find out we done made the biggest mistake that we ever made. She don't have no virtues. The little virtues that she have is negated by the madness and the folly that you have to deal with. She'll cook you dinner, then cuss you out. Now, which one you want? You want the dinner with the cuss out? Or do you just rather go out and eat? And watch what it says. 15th verse. And it came to pass before he had finished speaking, that behold, Rebekah came out, who was born to Bethuel, son of Milcah, the wife of Nahor, Abraham's brother, with her pitcher upon her shoulder. And the damsel was very fair to look upon, a virgin. Neither had any man known her. And she went down to the well, filled her pitcher, and came up. And the servant ran to meet her and said, "Let me, I pray you, drink a little water from your pitcher." And she said, "Drink, my master." Well, what woman say that? What woman referred to men in that way? None today. Well, I would say a few might, but for the most part, they don't refer to a man this way. They have no honor today when it comes to Yahweh servants and to men, period. And she said, "Drink, my master." And she hurried and let down her pitcher upon her hand. And when she had finished giving him drink, she said, "I will draw water for your camels also until they have finished drinking," the prayer that he had prayed. Because she could have just gave him drink and went on her way. But no, she went the extra mile. Why? Because she was a virtuous woman. And she hurried, emptied her pitcher of the trough, ran again to the well to draw water, and drew for all his camels. And it already told you how many camels he took with him. And the man wondering at her held his peace to know whether Yahweh had made his journey prosperous or not. Because a lot of times, the thing that you pray for, the thing that you ask, it doesn't come to pass, but you're still unsure. Matter of fact, you almost can't believe this thing is happening. It's happening. And so now, you hold your peace because you still want to see this thing be established. And it came to pass after the camels had finished drinking that the man took a golden earring of half a shekel weight and two bracelets for her hands of 10 shekels weight of gold and said, whose daughter are you? Tell me, I pray you, is there room in your father's house for us to lodge in? And she said to him, I am the daughter of Bethuel, the son of Milcah, which she bore to Nahor. And she said moreover to him, we have both straw and feed enough and room to lodge in. And the man bowed his head and worshiped Yahweh, because now he knew, this is Abraham, this is my master's house. Yahweh has blessed my way. Why did he ask about the family? Oftentimes, they don't ask about the family. Oftentimes, what a man might do, he would just get with the woman. He don't want to know nothing about the family. He don't want to know nothing about the father. He don't want to know nothing about the mother. He don't want to know nothing about anyone else. All he want to do is get with the woman. But no, not Abraham's servant. Take me to your house, because this thing cannot be established until I go to your house. And watch what happens. 27 verse. And he said, blessed be Yahweh, the Elohim of my master Abraham, who has not left destitute my master of his mercy and his truth. I being in the way, Yahweh led me to the house of my master's brothers. And the damsel ran and told them of her mother's house these things. And Rebekah had a brother, and his name was Laban. And Laban went out unto the man, unto the well. And it came to pass, when he saw the earring and the bracelets upon his sister's hands, and when he heard the words of Rebekah, his sister, saying, thus spoke the man unto me, that he came to the man, and behold, he stood by the camels at the well. And he said, come in, you blessed of Yahweh. Why stand you outside? For I prepared the house and the room for the camels. And the man came into the house, and he ungirded his camels, gave straw and feed for the camels, water to wash his feet, and the man's feet that were with him. In other words, this is the hospitality of Abraham. This is what some that Abraham would do. This is why he said, go back to this family. Not so today. You go in some people's houses, the man or the woman, they won't offer nothing. No water, no food, nothing to comfort anybody. They won't show no kind of. They'll say shalom and sometimes won't even tell you to sit down. 33rd verse. And there was set food before him to eat. But he said, I will not eat until I have told my errand. And he said, speak on, because he didn't come there to do that. He came there for business. And he said, I am Abraham's servant, and Yahweh has blessed my master greatly, and he has become great, and he has given flocks and herds and silver, gold, men servants, maid servants, camels and donkeys. And Sarah, my master's wife, bore a son to my master when she was old. And to him has he given all that he has. And my master made me swear, saying, you shall not take a wife unto my son or the daughter of the Canaanites, in whose land I dwell. But you shall go to my father's house, to my kindred, and take a wife unto my son. And I said to my master, perhaps the woman will not follow me. Here we go with that follow you again. And he said to me, Yahweh, before whom I walk, will send his angel with you. Prosper your way, and you shall take a wife for my son of my kindred and my father's house. Then shall you be clear from my oath when you come to my kindred. And if they give not you one, you shall be clear from my oath. And I came this day to the well and said, O Yahweh, Elohim of my master Abraham, if now you do prosper my way, which I go, behold, I stand by the well of water, and it shall come to pass that when the virgin comes forth to draw water, and I say to her, give me, I pray you, a little water of your pitcher to drink, and she says to me, both drink you, and I will also draw for your camels. Let the same be the woman whom Yahweh has appointed out for my master's son. Because Yahweh appointed this out. And oftentimes we're not with those who Yahweh has appointed out for you. We with those that you thought looked good. You thought would do good. You thought would follow you. And then you found out after the fact, she ain't follow me in that at all. Every time I tell her to do something, she got some reason why she ain't going to do it. And then sometimes she don't even give me a reason why she ain't going to do it. She just tell me she ain't going to do it. What kind of helpmate is that? Obviously not from Yahweh. And watch what it says, 45th verse. And before I had finished speaking in my heart, behold, Rebecca came forth with her pitcher on her shoulders. She went down to the well and drew water. And I said to her, let me drink, I pray you. And she made haste, let down her pitcher from her shoulder, and said, drink, and I will give your camels drink also. So I drank, and she made the camels drink also. And I asked her and said, whose daughter are you? And she said, the daughter of Bethuel, Nahor's son, whom Milcah born to him. And I put the earring upon her face, the bracelets upon her hands, and I bowed down my head, worship Yahweh, and bless Yahweh, the Elohim of my master Abraham, which had led me in the right way to take my master's brother's daughter unto his son. And now, if you will deal kindly and truly with my master, tell me, and if not, tell me, that I may turn to the right hand or to the left. Then Laban and Bethuel answered and said, the thing proceeds from Yahweh. We cannot speak to you bad or good. Behold, Rebecca is before you. Take her, go, and let her be your master's son's wife, as Yahweh has spoken. Came to pass that when Abraham's servant heard those words, he worshiped Yahweh, bound himself to the earth. In other words, every chance he got, he worshiped and bowed to Yahweh because he's seen the blessings of Yahweh. What kind of blessing is it just to go in a bedroom and sleep with a woman, and then all of a sudden you're talking about she's your wife? What kind of blessing is that? The only person you bowing to is her, and on top of her. You ain't bound to Yahweh. Nor is she. That's not the blessing of Yahweh. And watch what it says. 53rd verse. And the servant brought forth jewels of silver, jewels of gold, and clothing, and gave them to Rebecca. He gave also to her brother and to her mother precious things. And yes, this would a new wife deserve. Precious things. You got to show her what she coming into. But not so today. What the women coming into today is not precious things at all. They coming into a bunch of set up lies that they think is precious. But then when they find out the truth, it ain't precious at all. They eat and drink. He and the men that were with him and stayed all night. And they rose up in the morning and said, send me away to my master. And her brother and her mother said, let the damsel stay with us a few days, at the least 10. After that, she shall go. And he said to them, hinder me not, seeing Yahweh has prospered my way. Send me away that I may go to my master. And they said, we will call the damsel. and inquired out her mouth. And this is real important. And they called Rebecca and said to her, will you go with this man? And she said, I will go. And they sent away Rebecca, their sister, and her nurse, Abraham's servant, and his men. In other words, they wanted to see, was she willing to go? She was. And why would you want a woman that's not willing to go with you? Why would you want to be with a woman that's not willing to follow you, that's not willing to listen to you, that's not willing to hearken to you, that's not willing to help you? Baby, I need some help. What you need? I you fix dinner. Well, you fix it tonight. I fixed it last night. What kind of mess is that? Baby, I need you to get out there and help me. What you need me to do, baby? I need you to work. Well, no, you need to get two jobs. What kind of help is that? But yet they'll tell you, go to the store. What you need? I forgot something. I need your help. Watch the kids. Why you need me to do that? Because I need your help. Do this, do that. In other words, the man has become the helper and the woman has become the lead, the ruler, the one that has dominion. And this is total backwards, total backwards of Yahweh. Says in the 60th verse, and they blessed Rebekah and said to her, you are our sister. Be you the mother of thousands of millions, and let your seed possess the gate of those which hate them. And Rebekah rode and her damsels, and they rode upon the camels and followed the man. And the servant took Rebekah and went his way. And Isaac came from the way of the well of Lahoroi, for he dwelt in the south country. And Isaac went out to meditate in the field that evening, and he lifted up his eyes and saw, and behold, camels were coming. And Rebekah lifted up her eyes, and when she saw Isaac, she lighted off the camel, for she said to the servant, what man is this that walks in the field to meet us? And the servant has said, it is my master. Therefore, she took a veil and covered herself. And the servant told Isaac all things that he had done. And Isaac brought her into his mother Sarah's tent. Rebekah, she became his wife. He loved her, and Isaac was comforted after his mother's death. And why was he confident? Because now he got a woman that will help him, that will take care of him, that will have his back, that will look out for him, that will nurse him, even as his mother did. But the difference is, this woman he was with, he can be with. And now he's comforted in a whole nother way. Help me. This is what a woman is supposed to be. A woman wasn't made to just take care of things herself, be out there herself, live for herself on her own, doing her own thing. They got names for women like that. One called divorce. She divorced. Another one called a widow. She's a widow. But even a widow can get married. Even one is divorced can get married. But they got names for that. And the only other name the scriptures give to a woman that's not divorced, that's not widow, called a virgin. down to bad things they call, and everybody know, it's called a whore or a harlot. And we got plenty of whores and harlots out there that's acting, pretending to be, and that's what we're talking about, a helpmeet. A lot of times when a man and a woman get married, you don't know why a man will marry a woman. And it don't matter why he married you. What matters is your responsibility as a helpmate. You're supposed to help him. If you don't think you can help him, and if you don't want to help him, and you're not interested in helping him, why marry him? Why marry him? And I know why you marry a man. You marry a man for what you think he can do for you rather than what you can do for him. As I stated before, this is total backwardness. Oh, yeah, I want him because I know he got a good job. I want him because I know he'll take care of me. I want him because I know he'll take care of my kids. That ain't what a helpmeet is for. Helpmeet is supposed to think, I want to take care of him. I want to protect him. I want to do for him. Especially if he want me. Look what Yahweh told one of his prophets in the book of Hosea, the first chapter. The helpmate, that's what we're talking about. How are you going to understand marriage and you don't even know understand what you was made for, what you was designed for, what you was made to do? Here, man, what the help? Who do that? Just argue with the help. You got to debate and fight to help. And I know women don't want to be called to help, but Yahweh called you to help. He called you a helpmeet. Do you think helpmeet is the help? But that's below you. That's beneath you. Well, you got a problem with Yahweh. Maybe he shouldn't have made you at all. Since you don't want to be the help. Watch what the scriptures say. The first chapter. The very first verse. The word of Yahweh that came to Hosea, son of Beeri, in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, Hezekiah, kings of Yehuda, and in the days of Jehoram, the son of Joash, king of Israel, the beginning of the word of Yahweh by Hosea. And Yahweh said to Hosea, go, take to you a wife of whoredoms and the children of whoredoms. For the land has committed great whoredoms, departing from Yahweh. So he went and took Gomer, the daughter of Diblaim, which conceived and bore him a son. Not only had to take a wife of whoredom, everybody in the city probably been with her, but he got to take her as a wife. And then after he took her as a wife, they had children. And Yahweh said to him, call his name Jezreel, for yet a little while, and I will avenge the blood of Jezreel upon the house of Jehu, and will cause to cease the kingdom of the house of Israel. And it shall come to pass at that day that I will break the Israel in the valley of Jezreel. And she conceived again and bore a daughter. And Elohim said to him, call her name Loruhamah, for I will no more have mercy upon the house of Israel, but I will utterly take them away. But I will have mercy upon the house of Yehuda, and will save them by Yahweh the Elohim, and will not save them by bow, nor by sword, nor by battle, nor by horses, nor by horsemen. Now when she had weaned Loruhamah, she conceived and bore a son. And then said Elohim, call his name Lo-Ami, for you are not my people, and I will not be your Elohim. The number of the children of Israel shall be as the sand of the sea, which cannot be measured nor numbered. And it shall come to pass that in a place where it was said to them, you are not my people, and y'all know we in that place, there it shall be said to them, you are the sons of the living Elohim. So here it is, and watch what it says. Then shall the children of Yehudah and the children of Israel be gathered together. When? In the future. And appoint themselves one head. And they shall come up out of the land. For great shall be the day of Yahweh. Great shall be that day. In other words, little do people know, here you want a man to take care of you, a man to love you, a man to do this, and a man you don't even realize this man just married you because of Yahweh told him to. Because you will be, your children will be signs and wonders in the earth to let us know the time. Story is about we have wrought whoredoms before Yahweh. All of us are whores and harlots to Yahweh. Yahweh say we wear it right on our head. To the extent that we're not even ashamed. Ashamed. And here it is. We got women that's supposed to be a helpmate. And they're not ashamed that they're not helping. They're not ashamed of cussing their husband out. They're not ashamed to telling him, I ain't doing nothing for you. They ain't ashamed at all. They'll tell a man, they'll tell their husband, oh, in a heartbeat, and won't bat an eye. What kind of woman is that? Is that what you made to do? Is that what the scriptures say about a virtuous woman? No, it don't. Watch what it does say about a virtuous woman. Something that every time I go to this chapter, most of the women get mad. I understand why. Because it's not them. In the book of Proverbs 31, I just want you to see what a helpmeet supposed to be. Proverbs 31. Now, of course, if that's not you, you had no reason to get mad. But if what I'm saying is you, I can understand why you're getting mad. Watch what it says. Proverbs 31 and 10. Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. Only thing I've seen far above rubies is wisdom. The scripture says a wise woman builds her house. That's how I can tell when a woman is wise, she's building. But the foolish plucketh it down with her hands. That's how I can tell a foolish. All I got to do is look at the house, and I can tell which direction it's going. Watch what it says. The heart of her husband does safely trust in her so that he shall have no need of spoil. In other words, he don't have to go outside and get other. In other words, a man will have a wife, but he got to go pick up his own dinner. What kind of mess is that? Man have a wife, but he got to iron his own clothes. He got to do everything for himself. As a matter of fact, he don't even eat, not do for himself, but he iron her clothes and fix her food, watch her kids. I know to the average woman, that don't make sense to you. But that makes no kind of sense to someone who understands. Because they know this is total backwards. The man is not to help me. The woman is. What do you think she was made to do? To help him. He's not made to help her. I was like, Yahweh made to serve us. Here it is. We pray to Yahweh about everything. Yahweh, bless us here. Yahweh, bless us there. Yahweh, give me this. Yahweh, heal that. In other words, you would think Yahweh is the servant and we the master. But that is not the case. We're the servant. And since we are the servant, then why aren't you serving Yahweh? Why aren't you blessing him? Why ain't you doing it for him? And he told you what you should do for him. He said, keep his commandments. But you don't want to do that. You just want to be blessed. But you don't want to keep your commandments. Watch what it says. She would do him good and not evil all the days of her life. You seen that type of woman? Well, all she doing is good to her husband, no evil. She don't scorn him. She don't talk about him. She don't just talk back to him and cuss him out. She don't forsake him. Irregardless of the husband Yahweh gave her, she won't do him evil. She only will do him good all the days of her life. Yeah, I know people don't think this type of woman exists. And she probably don't. But I believe that she do. You just not her. She seeks wool and flax and works willingly with her hands, because everything she do is willingly. She like the merchant ship. She brings her food from afar. She rises also while it is yet night, gives food to her household, portion to her maid. In other words, this woman serving everybody. She considers a field, buys it with the fruit of her hand. She plants a vineyard. In other words, she don't got to have a man doing everything. That's what our women want today. We've been taught just backwards. Here, we've been in America for 400 years, and now we, even though we might say not this and not that, but we act just like our captors, just like them. They see other nations don't have to lift up a finger, so they think, our people think they don't have to lift up a finger. Well, so-and-so don't have to work. Well, I got to work. So-and-so got a ring and got bought a car and got bought this and bought that. Where's my stuff? Not so with a virtuous woman. The virtuous woman is the one that is providing. Watch what it says. She rises also while it is yet night, gives food to her household, a portion to her maiden. Considers a field, buys it. With the fruit of her hand, she plants a vineyard. She girds her loins with strength, strengthen her arm. She perceives that her merchandise is good. Her candle goes not out by night. In other words, all day and even part of the night, she's still working. And what is she working for? On the behalf of her family. She lays her hands to the spindle. Her hands hold the fiber stick. And I may add, everything that she's doing willingly. She's not doing it and then after do it, talk about you like a dog. She ain't doing it and then talking about how she hate it. She willingly does this. She stretches out her hand to the poor. Yeah, she reaches forth her hands to the needy. She's not afraid of the snow for her house. So, in other words, she ain't making a bunch of excuses why she can't do this and why she can't do that. It's snowing, all right? It's raining, all right? It's cold, all right? For all her household clothes was scarlet. She makes herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. Just because you work all the time, you don't have to be raggedy. Her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. Why? Because of her. She makes fine linen and sells it. Deliver girdles unto the merchant. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. In other words, you're working hard now, but in time to come, you're going to rejoice. Why? Because Yahweh is going to bless you. She opens her mouth with wisdom, not with cussing, not with slanders, not with tale-bearing, not with scorning, not with hatred, not with gossip. That ain't women today. That's when they open their mouth. Yeah, I heard you. Well, what you hear? Well, why don't you stop hearing the things you don't supposed to hear and start hearing the things you do supposed to hear? She opens her mouth with wisdom. And in her tongue, the law of kindness. Where is the kind helpmate? She looked well to the ways of herself. That ain't what it said. She looked well to the ways of her own lusts and desires and vanities. It didn't say that. She looks well to the ways of her household and eats not the bread of idleness. And let me tell you what the bread of idleness is. Gossip. She don't even eat that bread. It is. We'll come on and tell you. Yeah, I heard such and such and such. And somebody told me you said this, that, and the other. Did you do this and did you do that? And why are you talking to her? And why this? And what bread you been eating? The idleness, vanity, nothingness, foolishness. Not so with the virtuous woman. What are you made for? What are you here for? You here just to be a fool? You here just to live a life of vanity? You here just to for you? Or are you here for the very thing you was made for? A man. Don't tell me how good you are, how special you are, how virtuous you are. Let a man tell me. Then I will know. And I know how to talk to men. I ask them, is she a virtuous woman? And I dare them say yes. Because then I really get to question them. And you don't even have to tell anyone whether a woman is virtuous or not. She will show by her actions. Watch what it says. Her children arise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but you, them all, yeah, you got a bunch of women do some good things, some nice things. But then all of a sudden, all the good is negated. Is all negated because they're only doing some virtuous things. Favor is deceitful. Beauty is vain. And unfortunately, that's what a man go by. He deceived quickly. Because as soon as a woman start doing favors for him, then all of a sudden he think, oh, man, this is the one for me. Man, that's just favors, man. As soon as she gets you, man, you're going to regret this thing, man. This thing, that's just favor. But she beautiful. Yeah, that's vain. Because she's not going to always be beautiful. She might be always beautiful to you. But I'm saying, beauty come and go. Not so with the virtuous woman. See, she'll always be beautiful because her beauty is from inside out. But a woman that fears Yahweh, she shall be praised. All you got to do is, if you want to see a virtuous woman or see a woman, just all you got to do is look at a woman just to see her countenance. I want you to see something about the countenance of a woman. But watch this 31st verse. Give her the fruit of her hands and let her own works praise her in the gates. Some women, you give them the fruit of her hands and then they just going to put you to shame. They're going to put you to shame. I just want to go to work and be able to help. And then they go to work. That's my money. That's my car. That's my house. Well, I let you work. Yeah, but that's my stuff. I built this. I made this. Or you can let her stay home. And then the house ain't nothing. You gonna cook? You gonna clean? What? I cook and clean every day. When you gonna help? What you gonna do? As soon as you come in the door after working, kids jumping in your arms and bags of trash thrown to you, like you just didn't get off work. Now your responsibilities to the house is here. Well, I thought that's why you stay home, to take care of the home. Now, all of a sudden, I got to go to work and come home and do work. We got this thing all the way backwards. And Yahweh know we do. To help me. Part two. Watch this. In the book of 1 Samuel 25, I just want you to see this. I'm going to go right to the third verse. Now the name of the man was Nabal, and the name of his wife Abigail. She was a woman of good understanding and of a beautiful countenance. But the man was treacherous and evil in his doings, and he was of the house of Caleb. So we got man and woman. They were extreme opposites. One that was good and good countenance, beautiful countenance, woman of understanding, woman of good understanding. And she with this evil man. And you can read the whole story. And you won't read not one thing about her doing evil to her husband. No, this man was rich. And chances are she helped him become rich. But nevertheless, even though she was with this evil, churlish man, the scripture says she was a woman of good understanding and of a beautiful countenance. We got a lot of women walking around. They married to a man that they think is evil and they think is churlish. They think is bad. And you look at their countenance, it ain't beautiful at all. Their countenance will make your countenance be bad. And oftentimes, they're not with some churlish evil man. And their countenance still bad. Look at some of these married women. And you don't see exactly what I mean. They're going to demonstrate and show they ain't happy. What's wrong? What he do? Yeah, girl, I tell you. Because he ain't doing nothing. Yeah, that's countenance they show. But not Abigail. Her countenance was beautiful no matter who. No matter where. No matter what she was doing and where she was at. Her countenance was beautiful. And this is what you got to know. And help me. Part two. All you have to do, all you have to know is what you was made for. What you was designed to do. I'm here to believe that some women get it. They get this thing. There's no doubt in the scriptures they get it. And today you can get it if you want to get it. But you can continue on making excuses. And Yahweh already made it crystal clear who he took to Zion. One of a city, two of a family. So don't think you can shortchange Yahweh. Yahweh made you for man. But don't make no mistake about it. Only Yahweh himself is the judge. A man, not you, but Yahweh. And so when you stand before Yahweh, all he gonna know, all he wanna know, did you do what I made you to do? The sun, it do its job. The moon and the stars do their job. Now, do you do yours? So until tomorrow, Yahweh love, and so do I. Shalom.
Trusting you, he always kept me whole. It left my enemies deep in their